Okay. So, yes, as I said, we don't have... we don't have a lot of time left. So, I want to just try to pick up on some key points within the Sugya.
It's all right.
So, what are the two... the two ways of hechsher that are outlined in the Gemara.
Agdala and
Libra. Good. So what's the practical difference?
One's with fire, one's with boiling water.
Good. Right, and you use... and you use it for what?
Kashering.
Use kashering to get rid of...
Use what for what?
Liban for stuff that spits and grills, and Hagala for everything else.
Things that were used
for fire, right. Things are used with fire.
Well, yeah.
Active yes.
fire. And things that were used.
Good. So now, what is there a difference, not just practically between Agal and Libun, but do they kosher in the same way?
Yes.
Or I'll put it differently. Right, clearly, right, Haggalah kashers through boiling water and Liban through.
They do the
right?
same thing. Mm.
So that's the question, right? Do they accomplish the same thing?
Liban,
do they accomplish...
Remakes it.
What?
Liban effectively remakes the object.
Good. So that's what I want to get to, is what A.B. said. Right? And again, like I said, we don't have so much time, so I want to just give you the highlights of this sugya. And I'm literally just going to present this the way the Rav does in the book they put together on his shiurim, just because I think it'll be succinct, and we don't have enough time to get into everything.
Sorry,
so,
which the Rav is this?
Right, Joseph B. Soloveitchik.
Rav Joseph, okay.
That one. That one. Sorry. No, I would say, yeah. Anyways, sometimes for Israelis, often Rav Kook, you know, but no. Okay. So, so as we saw in the Gemara, what types of materials can be koshered and what can't be koshered?
Metal.
Metal can be koshered. What cannot be koshered?
Ceramics.
Cheres, right? Ceramics and like, which halachically are called cheres, right? Are.
He kept saying this is an opinion that says you can.
So what I want to do is look at two Gemaras, right, and then deal with this halacha. Okay. So, the Gemara in Psachim, Laman Beis. So, what's going on in that Gemara?
That was talking about this cracked cheres versus tefillah for Pesach.
Good. It's talking about not tefillah. It's talking about kosher.
Oh,
kosher.
That's what I meant.
Right. So you had, right, so the Gemara adds that, right? Over later, Ravina l'Ravashi, Hani sakina b'pischa. If you have knives on Pesach, Heich di avdin lu. What do you do to them? So Amar le, l'didi, Chadu gavdin. And he said, I always get new knives. So Amar le, Tedach mar de'afshar le. So I get it. So you can do that. D'lo'afshar le mai. But if you can't do that, what do you do? Meaning, how are you going to caution them if you can't just use new ones? So Amar le, I don't mean new, I mean like new. And you remember we saw this already yesterday, right? This notion that maybe what koshering is doing is
making it like new,
right?
Not officially new, like.
Right, but you see, this is the second time that we see in the Gemara this formulation. So what do you do it? Right, so. So the Gemara says what he said you should do is that you cover the wooden handle in mud so they won't be burnt up, and then you heat the metal, meaning the blade, with fire until it's white hot, and then I put the handles of the knives in the boiling water to remove anything that would be absorbed. But the halacha is that in this case the blade and the handle, you just need boiling water. And as long as it's in a kli rishon, because the knife was not used ala ish. Good? Okay? Right, so this is... So the Gemara continues. And Amar Rav Huna, Rav of Yeshua, eats parur magilo beroshchen of a kli rishon, a wooden ladle should be purged in boiling water in a kli rishon, which is how it was, the taste was absorbed. Because, as we said, the rule in koshering is kibolo kach balto. as it is
made.
No, as it is swallowed up, as the pollen is swallowed up, it is
spit out.
Mm. Okay, so then the Gemara moves to Tcheres, right? And what does the Gemara say? Hani mane dekunya. So if you have these earthenware vessels, these glazed earthenware vessels, ma'al ishtamushe behu bepischa, can you use them on Pesach? So the Gemara says, Yiroka loti bar loch nevadai asira. The green ones, for sure not. Right? Because their coating doesn't prevent them from absorbing the flavor. They had green ones. That was, I don't know. That was, and it had a coating which still allowed things to get through. It never got into the charis itself. Kiti bailach uchme vechivure. I want to know the black and white. My vech isbu kartufne. And if there are cracks in it, loti bailach nevadai asira. Then it's for sure asir. Why?
Because the unleavened bread gets...
Yeah, because chametz got inside. Kiti bailach deshie. My. What I'm asking you for is if it's smooth. Right? Why would you think smooth is different?
Because it doesn't really get
it. Kind of correct.
Off.
So he says, Amarle, chazina lehu dimi demaisi alma bale vasire vatorahi idakli cheresh in a yotimide dofyo leolam. So he says, I see that some of the liquid is in fact expelled from the outside of the of this clay, so which means that they must absorb, right? Something must get in through that coating. And once something gets in from the coating, so then what's the halacha?
Nothing gets out.
You can never kasher it because it's kli cheres. And the Torah says, what?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
No. And the it is now. And now it is, therefore, not kasherable. Right, so this is where the Gemara lays out the rule that kli cheres is not kasherable. Right?
Well, that's if it has no coating. Not even that. It can still break if it's like a clay.
No, even this is one even with a coating, right? That's what I just read.
A smooth thing with a coating.
But the Gemara just said
it's thick enough that it can't get through. Though.
So the Gemara just said, right, that in this case, it does get through, right? Even with the coating, it gets through, and therefore it is impossible to kasher. You just have to break it. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't use it.
Can you reforge it, or...?
That's this Gemara, yes?
Yeah.
The kli cheres is not kasherable. Good?
Yeah.
Clear?
Yeah.
Good. Now, what do the Gemara and Zvachim say?
I mean, it said you cannot use kli cheres in the base mikdash. There's no. That's about kiddusha. Anything. You're making bread.
What did the Gemara say about cheres?
I don't remember. We had the Gemara. So I have a sock in here. Don't you have the other part of it?
So Gemara had said, right? The Gemara had said, Elahad Amar of Nachman Amar Rabba Bar. Actually, I'll go a line before that. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, "V'chi osin ashbatot ba'azarish demite hadatoni shemaya bekalvono shivru klicheres nivlan bimkoman." Right? Abaye said that according to the Brisa, right, there are no kilns in Yerushalayim. Right? I mean, no place to forge kelim. So the right. So what exactly do you do? Right. You put. So you have these scrap heaps of kli cheres in the base of mikdash. Is that what you're going to do? It can't be. Right. So what do you do with these shards of cheres? Right. That are broken in the chatzer. Right. So what do you do? You know, maybe it's worth going in a little bit before this. Yeah. So the Gemara, right, if you go a little bit before that, right? The Gemara had said that once you, right, a kli again, kli cheres, if it's used as a fire, right, on the fire as a baking pan, so then it becomes aser. So then the Gemara is trying to figure out, well, why is it that you have to break these problematic kelim in the base of mikdash that absorb forbidden fats and things like that? Right, now, Junior Lekiv Shonot, why don't you put it back in the killed. So Amar, right, so Amar Zera Lefishinos and Kivshon Bishlam. So that was the line I wanted. Right, the Gemara had said, right, that if you have if you have Kli Cheres that was used with fats and stuff like that, so you have to destroy them in the Mikdash. And the Gemara had said, why don't you just put them back in the kiln? Right?
To reforge them.
The Gemara said it's a technicality. Namely that
there are no kilns
in Yerushalayim. Right? You can't take them outside because these are things that are involved with Kedusha. So, what's the problem?
Why are kilns not do something not of Kedusha?
Yeah.
Anything made from clay in general just doesn't have Kedusha to be in the Yerushalayim.
We're just talking about Cheres in Yerushalayim.
Right. Yeah, okay. So
what do we see from this Gemara that is a problem to what we saw before?
That's why it couldn't be a clay thing in the big...
What does the Gemara imply? Can you kosher?
Yes.
You could kosher them if you return them to the kiln.
Okay.
Right?
Kosher them, you're remaking,
but we just said
remaking
earlier
them.
That you can't.
You're remaking the clay, if anything.
Yeah, and what exactly is koshering?
It's making the clay somewhat new. You're actually making a new clean this time.
Oh, but you aren't allowed to kosher. So now tell me what's going on, right? You're not allowed to kosher, but you are allowed to do this.
One is
right?
Like new. One is actually
okay, right? So now, but how do you get the taste out? But didn't we say that Kabbalah Kach Palto doesn't apply?
Well, the same way you did it for metal, you just pretty much burn it alive. Nothing left.
Good, and this is why I said I wanted to do it very small again, but I think it is important because it highlights a potential fundamental difference between these. Okay, but before we get that, I want to see this one more point. I guess I'm just following this from the way the Rav presents it. So look at Shulchan Aruch. Look at Simon Sadi Bet. Right, that's where we were. Welcome, Yuri. Okay. Right. So what is so what does Shulchan Aruch say? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Nahaguha Olam Lasor Kishinafla al Hadofen. Shalom Keneged Harotev.
If milk falls upon the pot.
Tzadi Bet Vav in Yardea. Right?
If milk falls out of the on the outside of a pot.
Good, which has meat inside.
Yes. If it falls,
if it's not keneged harotev, meaning it's not parallel to where the food is, so then it's answer why.
If it's not
parallel? Correct, shalom keneged harotev. If it's keneged harotev, it's not answer why. Because then it's batel.
Oh, it's less than 1/6.
Right. The problem is if it falls on the empty part of the pot, there's nothing to be mevatel it.
Sorry.
Right, that's the logic.
So that's already rove of the.
It's you know the kli is going to create a problem. Okay.
Correct.
That's only if it falls on the side of the pot that's not next to the fire.
Right,
but if it fell near the fire, it'd be fine. Because the fire will
dry it up and
burn it up. Right, it'll be fine.
This is a metal pot. Well, we didn't. The Azak
Kedera Namishari, and then the pot will be fine. Vidavka Davar Muad, this is obviously only a little bit, could go in tipa, like a drop. Avalam Nafal Harbe, but if a lot fell, Ein Ladra Filu of Nafal Keneged Eisham, Keneged Harote Vayide Shishim.
Unless it's right.
Right, unless it's actually going to be Batel, because it's not going to be burnt up in time, right? Meaning it'll take a few minutes, fine.
But is this a metal pot, or this is a.
1 second. And then he said, the Ramah adds, the Azak Kedera Heve Asura, and then the pot will be forbidden. And the forbidden case is the pot is also Asur. The Yarem Yaratavshumenu Bitsaracher Shlokenegatipa. What you have to do is you pour out the pot immediately in the opposite direction. And if you're cooking it again, so then it's like the first time. Okay.
Like the first time.
Now.
Of what? First time of use? Like. Or what does that mean by like the first time?
What?
What does that mean like the first time? Like the first time you used it? Well,
leave that aside. It's not important for what we're doing. Now the Gra here says in Sif Lamed Aleph, like I said, this is totally the Rav's analysis here, right? He says, where does the Shulchan Aruch get this notion that if the food falls right where the pot is at the fire, then it's not usher? Where does he get that notion?
Because it's been kosher.
So he says, right? So So the Gra writes, why does this happen? Why? How do we know that the fire is so effective that it can burn it away before it is even problematic? Because of the halacha of Kli Cheres. What does that have to do with anything?
I guess since fire is enough to conjure Kli Cheres.
So I'll read the Rav for you. The Rav, it says, fine, it is follows. Hine kasev shulchan aruch, shem naval har bechalav al dofen akadere in lahatar filo im nafal kinegereish. Right, the shulchan aruch had said that if a lot falls on the pot, then,
it's awesome.
Even if it's net right next to the fire, it's still asur. The host of Ramah, the Azar Kadir, Asura, Filim Yeshishim, Batavshal, Kenegadat Tifa. And the Ramah says that even if, sorry, the Gra is complaining this point in the Ramah. Right? And then it's asur even if it's 60. And the Gra is trying to figure out how could it be that even if there's 60, shouldn't it be Batel? Right? Shouldn't it be nullified? So he says, it's because of Kli Cheres, we know that things don't leave the walls. Umashma, what the Gra thinks is that what we learned from the halacha of Kli Cheres, lo rak lo mahani hagala b'Kli Cheres, after lo mahani bitul b'Kli Cheres, the Gra said what the Ramah clearly holds is not only can you not kasher Kli Cheres through hagala, right, through boiling water, but even bitul doesn't work, right, because the way it absorbs taste is that even if you pound it with extra food, right, it won't be bata, like it's going to keep the taste alive. Right, and that's why the Ramah thinks that if you have this Kli Cheres, that's how the Gra's understanding it, right?
Right.
Right, the Gra's understanding is Kli Cheres. But that if you have this clay pot on the flame, and a lot of food falls on it, even if it's going to be less than 60, but a lot of food falls on it, then it absorbs into the walls and stays there. And therefore, you can't even nullify it because it's going to constantly be emitting the taste. Right, that's how the Gra understands this halacha. Klomar da filu iser mashu oser bedofen Kli Cheres. That even a little bit in the walls of a clay pot make it oser. The kasha, the maishna hagala ubitol milibun, the shaver mahani v'Kli Cheres. Right, he said, now that we've established that Kli Cheres is so machmir, right, that maybe not only does it not have a gala, but it can't even be. Right, doesn't even a bitl, right? That's how much the flavor stays in the walls. Right? It perpetuates its flavor. We got the question? Right? That Hagala can't do it, but seemingly Libun can, right? You can put it back in the kiln. And that's despite the fact that it seems to have the ability to hold on to taste so much so that it'll never be batel. Right? So what's the answer? Yosef, what was the answer? Say it again. Now say it.
That when you're dealing with heat, that when you're reforging it, you're making it a nuclei. It's not like the sort of nuclei when you're...
Right, so the Rav puts it slightly differently. And he says, even though both types of koshering, you would think that both types of koshering, the way they kosher is by drawing out taste. Right? But he said it's not true. So if nearly Yashiv, the bitul the halgala materially they flutas tama iser. He said there are three rules that are in play right now: halgala, libun, and bitul. Right? Remember, we're talking now about the pot, right? And the Ramah Shita, according to the Gra, that once something's in cheres, once something's in clay, it's not batel either. Yes. Yes? Are we clear on this?
Also meaning, what again?
Nullified.
Okay.
Right? The way the Gra understands the Ramah is that even if a lot of food falls on the side of the wall of the pot, and there's more than 60 in the pot, it won't matter. Because Kli Cheres, because of the way it absorbs, right? Even if you fill the pot with 100 times the amount of kosher food, the 100 times the meat of the milk, which should make it batel, it won't work. If it's a tiny little bit, fine. But if it's not a tiny little bit, it's just caked up there, even if it's more than 60 times the kosher food inside the pot.
Meaning 1/60th of what?
More than 60 times kosher in the pot, meaning that the problematic thing is less than 1/60th.
Okay.
Right? It'll still be not kosher, because the way Kli Cheres is, once we know that you can't kosher it through agala, that means that the way it absorbs is like more powerful or something like that. Right? So the Rav says, well, because Hagala and Bittul in the end are both based on the same rule, which is drawing out taste. In what sense? Hagala is obvious. How does Hagala draw out taste?
It burns it.
No, Haggadah draws out taste.
Water.
It draws out taste. Yeah. That's it, right? That's what it is, right? In what sense is bittul equivalent to that? Is nullification.
And it still draws out. It adds right. so much flavor.
Correct, right? Meaning it's not that it draws it out, but it makes it irrelevant by taking, you know, the 1 in 60 problematic substance, drawing out its taste into the big pot such that the whole mixture is now, you know,
doesn't have
a specific forbidden taste. And therefore, according to the Gra, the way he understands the Rabma, right, the bittul will not be able to draw the taste out of the walls in the cheres to be mevatel it, because cheres doesn't emit taste. Once it's in, it's trapped forever. And therefore, there's no way of doing haggala on it, and there's no way of nullifying it, because nullifying also, it requires drawing out the taste to nullify it. But if it's stuck, right, then it will never be drawn out to nullify.
Right.
Avalibun. Then why is it that you can theoretically put something back in the kiln, which is essentially libun? Because
it burns
out. So he says, Eino motzi et abli aklal. That's not drawing it out. Elahu sorfo bimkomo.
That's burning it from within.
Yes, exactly. Right. The point of libun is it goes in and burns it. Right. And this sort of makes sense, because think about it just even visually. Right. Haggadah. I take a pot. I boil it inside. Right. And then I toss the water.
Right.
Right. The water doesn't get into the walls. Right. It doesn't get into the walls of the pot.
Fire.
It draws out the taste. How do you take if you're going to kosher a grill, how do you kosher it?
Fire.
Fire until what? What do you wait for?
Red hot.
For it's red hot. Why? Because that means you're not putting something on the outside and pulling out the problematic taste.
You're putting something.
Right, you're raising the temperature of the metal, so whatever is inside, right, is destroyed. So he says, there is a cause of din hechsher l'kli cheres. When we say that you can't kosher a pot, right? A kli cheres, a clay vessel. That's only the hechsher hamater to kli al yidei haflata tame isur. That's because you can't manage to get the taste out. You can't get it to spit it out to emit it. Right, so you can't boil out a kli cheres. Because the Torah said that kli cheres just doesn't let go of its taste very easily, right? It just keeps its residual taste forever, right? Or it just goes out slowly, but not in a way that you can get it out in an effective way. So koshering is irrelevant, because you can boil water as much as you want in this cheres, and halachically speaking, right, we assume that the taste will remain, right? That no amount of boiling the water in it is going to manage to get it out. I want to point out that there is a shita, that, and Moshe Feinstein is the sort of modern shita along these lines, that says that maybe this is only normal koshering. I think I mentioned this yesterday. But if you leave a clay pot for a whole year, right, he's combining several shita, leave it for a whole year and then put it, you know, in and then do a certain koshering process three times, right? Then it might be able to kosher it. So maybe, right? That would, right? Maybe it's not that it's impossible to get out the taste. It's just really, really slow, right? So a one-time koshering, like, you know, boiling the water will not help. Whatever. He says, but masha ain't came b'libun, but not libun. The whole masha klei ayidei shreifat ablia memela shaper mahani apikli cheres. Right? If you manage to get the cheres to red hot, right, which you can, by the way, right? You can. I don't know if you ever think about this, but I know in my, you know, now I have like built-in heaters, but when I was in the Kollel apartments, right?
You had a clay heater?
It's a porcelain heater, oh. Right? Those are the most effective, right? I had, right, there's the, you know, there's like the radiators, right? Maybe this is a good way of explaining it. So the metal radiator, right, they get hot, but, right, as soon as you turn them off, it takes a few minutes for them to cool down, right? And therefore it uses a lot of electricity, because metal is a good conductor. Right? So heat goes in very quickly and out very quickly. But porcelain is not like that. Right? It gets heated more slowly, but it takes a much longer time to cool down. Right? Because it's not as good of a conductor. Right? So it doesn't let things in or out as fast. So yeah, my father-in-law is an electrical engineer and is very into these things. He said, get the porcelain heater. Because the porcelain heater is cost-effective. Because once it heats up, it uses much less electricity because... Right, it doesn't let go of its heat very fast.
Right,
and these things were insanely hot. Right, when I we once accidentally left it. We had it on a timer on Shabbos, right? So it was facing a couch, and we got back just in time. And the couch had been on for maybe 5 minutes, and the couch was starting to smoke, right? Like, it's really, really hot. These things are like, right? It's no joke.
The hand dryers are also porcelain.
A lot of these things, right? There's porcelain parts to it, right?
It doesn't shatter the porcelain. Well, it has.
Now, I will point out, by the way. Now, again, I'm bringing this analysis not because I fully right, not because it's impossible to read it differently, right? Meaning, So this book by the Rav was not really written by the Rav. This is a collection of his shiurim that was put together by a Koningsberg, which was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU. Now, he notes in his footnote that this is. Right, the assumption that the piece in Shulchan Aruch is talking about Cheres is the position of the Gra and the Ber Hetev. But the Pesachei Tshuva thinks that this is a different halacha totally about metal. Okay? So leave that aside. Right? Meaning, I'm using this to make a point about Liba, not like I'm married to this interpretation of Shulchan Aruch. But just know that, in fact, this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, the Gra understands it's only about Cheres, but the Pesachei Tshuva thinks even about metal. Okay? Now, in the footnote, the second footnote, right, Koningsberg notes, furthermore, that not everybody agrees to this, right? He says, the Ra'ah says this. He says that Libun eino maflet et ablia. Libun doesn't spit out the swallowed up. Ela reyu sorfa b'mkomad. Burns it there. Uli shishato shapri yesh l'ashim v'di rabbeinu. And therefore, this makes sense. The Gros Moshe says the same. Ulam eser v'heter, evi b'shem esmak, ilin Libun in chiluk ben ben yomo, leina ben yomo. El yachol avno... Now, the Yisrael Heter said, the Yisrael Heter seems not to say this. The Yisrael Heter says that from the smak, that when you do liban, the halacha is that by kashering with hagala, because of a chumra maybe we'll talk about, we make you wait 24 hours before you kasher, right? Because you want whatever taste is there to become pagum, so when you kasher it, the taste that's pulled out into the water is already pagum, because otherwise it'll go into the water and then back into the pot.
Pagum would mean
right?
It's old already?
Yeah, it's old, so therefore it can't create any problems. So, right? So you draw it out without letting it go back, but if you did it within 12 hours, let's say, right, a good taste would go into the water and then it might go right back into the pot,
right?
Which would be a problem. But the Yisrael Heter quotes the Smak, who says that Libun, it doesn't matter, you could do it on the day. Now, the simplest understanding of what's the difference between Libun and Hagalah,
that heat, one's water, one's fire.
No, that Haggalah you need to wait 24 hours because it's pulling out the taste, and therefore we're worried that the taste might go back in. Mm-hmm. But Libun,
you can do it right away.
It burns it out, so there's nothing to worry about.
Right.
Now this,
wait, but we said a pot might not need Haggalah, might not need kosher, so it's after 24 hours. Sorry, no, we said.
No,
that.
We didn't. We never said
no,
that.
No, I know.
We never
so
said that.
We said in the Gemara, a pot that was used within 24 hours, the Tom is not there, though.
What?
That's what we said in the Vodazara.
No, the opposite.
There.
Anything within 24 hours, it is there.
If it was not used within
24 correct,
hours.
Correct, and that's remember, what yesterday's point was that, right, in it, first of all, the Gemara says you have to kosher even things after 24 hours.
Right,
plus, as we noted, based on the Rav's analysis, koshering may also have a formal component to it, right? Not just pulling out the taste.
But adding.
Right? Or whatever. Right? Making it anew. But that's why we wait for Eino Ben Yomo. Because, right, once we say that you need to kosher it, either because of the Gzeira or because of this formal halacha, right, both might be true at some level.
Right.
I mean, one is clearly true, it's in the Gemara. The other one also seems to be true at some level. But what do we say then? We say that. So what's the problem? If you kosher within 24 hours, the taste is going to go out and right back in.
Right.
Right, which is a problem.
Why would it go right back in?
Because it's a live taste and it's boiling water, right?
Yeah, think about it. It's going to become patel if it
goes maybe, out. But that, what we're worried about is that it's going to get into the water and then go right back into the pot.
But if it becomes patel, there's no problem.
If it becomes butthole, but we're worried about that. It might not be butthole.
Why would you not be worried if it's less?
Because
than
the tom, right? The tom is in all the, is in the whole pot, so it might not be butthole. It might not be shishim.
If it's 1/60th of the water,
is it? It's not clear.
If you have a huge pot, it's,
we count it by the thickness of the walls, right? The thickness
of the
wall,
pot
of the entire right.
Of
yeah.
The little pot being.
Well, when we do shishim, we have to figure out. It's a bit of an annoying process, right? It's hard sometimes when you're talking about that. But yeah, we try to figure out how much is in the walls. Right? And the usher taste in the walls will...
The thickness of the...
Correct. There's not necessarily...
If you take this chowin pot and put in a little cup, it's clearly... the Chalon pot that we have up in the kitchen.
Yeah.
A huge thing. If you take a little Kiddush cup that was used for Chalon.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, like, the pot itself. Let's just talk about the pot itself.
What do you mean?
The pot itself. Let's say the pot itself. I'm talking about koshering a pot.
Yeah.
So the pot itself, right? The food, right? You're trying to kosher the pot. It'll go into the water and right back into the pot, right? You're thinking about koshering something else in it. I'm talking about koshering the pot. It's koshering the pot itself. Pot itself. The pot accidentally cooked non-koshered
it.
Correct.
Put it in a bigger pot of boiling water.
No, you can just fill it to the top.
Oh, okay.
You can just fill it to the top.
But if you do it the other way, putting it into a big pot.
So then we could talk about it, right? Then you could. You're right. One way of doing it, you could overwhelm it by putting in something that's so much bigger,
that
right?
Is vital, for sure, but
right, potentially you could do, right? Maybe, whatever. I don't want to get to that in a second. Okay. But the point is that we don't make you wait for libun. We don't make you wait for libun.
Right.
The simplest reason is, why don't we make you wait for libun?
Because hagala's enough.
Wait, no, because hagala. No, I'm sorry. Wait 24 hours for libun, because hagala draws taste out, and therefore we have to wait till the taste is dead.
But libun it burns out.
But the Isra Heter says no. It's because. He just says no, because libun pulls out everything right away. Right? It's pulling everything right away.
It's pulling out.
Yeah. So he seems to say, no, maybe you could just say that the difference, right, and this is why I want to give you the two different ways of understanding it, right? One is to say the difference in libun and agala is burning in its place versus pulling out.
But here he's saying.
But the other way, as he notes, is to say no. Hagala pulls out slowly, and libun is like, you know, yeah, exactly, right? It's just super effective at pulling out, right? And therefore, he's in a chaymashmi Rashi, and he notes that Rashi seems to say this because Rashi's language in Avodah Zarah in Hay was that ke'ein of bol ola isor yafli tenu k'damrin gemelo pach palto. Right, the line of kibolo pach palto, right, of the way it is absorbed is the way it spits it out. He says that on one line on libun. Right, to explain libun.
Right.
Right. So if you think, though, that libun is really just a really effective hagalah, then why would returning something to the kiln work? Because once you say that the walls never give up the taste, so if you say they never give up the taste, but that's okay because libun burns it inside, so that's fine. But if you say that libun is just really good at pulling out, but you've already said that klicheres can't draw taste out of klicheres, then how could it be that we can fix these kalim and Yerushalayim by throwing them back into the kiln?
Kilns are in Yerushalayim, though.
So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, there's three levels, right? There's Hagalah, which pulls out a little bit. Libun, which pulls out a lot. Again, this is the way Ray Konigsberg presents it. And then there's the kiln, which is Mamish creating it anew. Right? That's not Libun. That's not just a way of doing Libun. Right? That's remaking.
Right?
So, very Bikitur, like I said, I just want to give you sort of snapshots of the sugya. Right? One way of understanding the difference between Hagalah and Libun is Hagalah draws out, Libun burns in its place. Possible nafkamina? Can you utilize it for cheres?
Is this
right?
Yes. I keep thinking you're giving like a. Never mind.
No, I'm getting my share.
You're welcome to join us.
Because we started late because of the shiva, we just said we were pushing morning center. That was what Ginsburg said.
Oh, so you weren't having.
Question answer. We just pushed everything. Yeah.
So after this is just lunch?
Yes. Now I lost my train of thought. Try that again. Right? So. Again, here I'm really, like I said, I'm just following the Rav and Rav Konigsberg here, but basically, the Rav argues that according to the Gra, right, he thinks that Kli Cheres, the reason that the Gra thinks that A, which is clear in the Gemara, Kli Cheres cannot be kosher through Hagalah. Two, is that he thinks the normal rules of Bittul don't apply to Kli Cheres, is because the nature of a klicheres is that it doesn't let taste out, right? And therefore, any koshering / making kosher, right? I mean, bittul is not really koshering, but any process that in order for it to be kosher would require you to pull the non-kosher taste out, meaning either koshering through hagalah or bittul, right? Because bittul requires the treif taste to go into the pot and be nullified, Right? Those won't apply to Kli Cheres. But then why does the Gemara say that you can throw the pot back into the kiln, which seems to be Libun? So the Rav answers, based on the Ra'ah, or essentially the Ra'ah, no, it's Sharfobim Kamo. It's a different type of koshering. You're not pulling out, you're sending the fire in and sizzling whatever is inside.
Burning it.
Right? And therefore, you're right, you can never pull the taste out, but it doesn't matter. You're not trying to pull it out, you're burning it in its place. And that would be a good way of explaining why you don't have to wait 24 hours before you kosher with Libun. The problem is that certain Rishonim, like the Smot, say no. Kagalah pulls out, and Libun pulls out faster and better. Right? The problem is, if that's the case, then you shouldn't be able to kosher Kli Cheres through Libun. Because, again, once the Torah says you can't pull taste out of it, then you can't pull taste out of it.
That's why.
So then you have to ask, okay, but then, and then, again, this is the way Rashi seems to say, but then if that's the case, how do we understand the Gemara which says, but you can kosher it by throwing back in the kiln? If that's not Libun, then what is it? And therefore, Rabbi Tam seems to all know there's three levels, right? So again, it's a big nafkamina, right? According to the first way of understanding, it is that Libun works on Kli Cheres, right? So therefore, if you had a China thing which was so strong that it could withstand a blowtorch, right? So theoretically, you could kosher it. It won't, by the way. It just won't. Right? Meaning, the clay might not break, I don't know. But the design, everything that makes it expensive, right, will not survive a blowtorch. That's why that's not an option. But according to the second formulation, no, a blowtorch on your China thing won't work, because what we learned from the Gemara in Zvachim is not that Libun works. Because Libun doesn't work. Libun just pulls out just really well, but that's not going to work for Cheres. So how do you understand the sugya of Tanur? Rabbi Tam says no. There's a third level that even if you can't kosher Cheres through Agala or Libun, but if I take it and I chuck it back into the flame, right? I put it back in the oven, right? And I reforge it. Then when I, by totally breaking it down to zero, to Efes, right, and reconstituting it,
like creating.
So that might be, right, that's not Libun or Hagala, that's recreation, that might work, right, that might work for Kli Cheres, even if the other two don't. So again, we've seen now two definitions, right, one is that Hagala is about pulling out, Libun is about burning inside, or, no, Hagala and Libun about pulling out, because one is more effective than the other, and then there's another category of burning recreation, and that's called, right, Hazara Latanur, putting it back in the original kiln. Right, and Mamish going through the process from zero, right, from zero again. Okay, so again, like I said, I wanted to show you this, just give you sort of the conceptual framing on. We're not getting through all the sugyas, so I have to give you snapshots. What can I do? That's the nature of the end of the year.